I'll be reading the scripture reading, Psalm 146. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord, my soul. I will praise the Lord all my life. I will sing praise to my God as long as I live. Do not put your trust in princes and human beings who cannot save. When their spirit departs, they return to the ground. On that very day, their plans came to nothing. Blessed are those whose help is the God of Jacob, whose hope is the Lord their God. He is the maker of heaven and earth, the sea and everything in them. He remains faithful forever. He upholds the cause of the oppressed and gives food to the hungry. The Lord sets prisoners free. The Lord gives sight to the blind. The Lord lifts up those who are bowed down. The Lord loves the righteous. The Lord watches over the foreigner and sustains the fatherless and the widow, but he frustrates the ways of the wicked. The Lord reigns forever, your God, O Zion, for all generations. Praise the Lord.
Thank you, Ava, for reading scripture for us this morning. Welcome back from your Mellinger-Whitmer Heights youth trip, Costa Rica. Love to hear a little report about that sometime. That'd be great. And good morning, everybody. Praise the Lord. That's a good word from Psalm 146 to start off worship. This song of psalm and song, because these were sung, of giving praise to God and remembering that we serve a God who looks out for those who are often forgotten. Wow. Praise the Lord. We're continuing in our summer sermon series, Bind Us Together. This morning, the theme is persons who have experienced having to leave their country because of violence and no longer a safe place to live. Those who are refugees. And I want to begin just by asking a very simple question. When you hear the word refugee, what comes to your mind? What are some of the first things that you think about? I know for myself, I can't help but think about some of the things that are so upfront in the news these days. The word refugee, unfortunately, has become so politicized and polarized. Very polarized. When we hear that word, unfortunately, we think of those who either agree or disagree with how we should be treating refugees or allowing refugees into our country. This morning is not a debate on the politics of that. That would not be appropriate, nor my role as your pastor to do that from the pulpit. And let's be honest, we're going to have some differing views of that in this congregation, and that's totally okay. That's part of what makes it church. But my goal this morning, as we talk about refugees, instead of a political debate, is to talk about this from what Jesus and the gospel and this psalm share with us. And I'm aware that in the midst of a theme and a topic that is very political and polarizing, that we need a word from God that isn't so much polarizing but uniting us as followers of Jesus Christ. I want to begin with a story about 2008. It was after I graduated from Goshen College. And there was a group of five of us who were aware of some of the things going on in related to this very topic of just feeling very polarized and a lot of skepticism. And we were all graduates of Goshen College. And one of the things we were aware of is that there is a bit of a reputation, I guess, that graduates of Mennonite education no longer cared about Jesus. Can you believe that? Because they couldn't be more wrong when these five young adults wanted to travel around the Central Plains Conference in the Midwest and say, we do care about Jesus. We're all graduates of Goshen College, and we care about peace, And we cared that peace is rooted in the gospel. And so we got in a van. The name of our team was Seeds of the Kingdom. Our Brett Troyer's brother, Matt Troyer Miller, and his wife were part of the team. That was pretty cool to hang out with them. And we went from church to church, and we would build relationships. We would stay in the host family for a weekend. We would do the Sunday morning service. We would maybe have an afternoon gathering of sharing as well. And the biggest goal that we had, as I said, was to build relationship and to try to break down some of those stereotypes that divide us. We deeply care about peace and social justice, and we deeply care about it being rooted in the gospel. These things somehow have polarized. And we have these groups who care about peace and social justice and the groups that care about evangelism. And somehow we think that we're talking about two different things. No! Part of our goal as Seeds of the Kingdom was to try to bring these together and say, if we're going to root our talk about peace and social justice for the refugee, we need to do it in the context of shalom, which is a very biblical concept of well-being and peace. And one of the specific topics that we kind of came up over and over was this word evangelical. And realizing that the word evangelical was often polarized as well. And if we think about the famous Menno Simons phrase, true evangelical faith does not lie dormant. It got me thinking a little bit about why this word evangelical has become so polarized in our world today. And so part of the goal this morning as we talk about refugees and not to disconnect that passion that we have to look after the refugee from true evangelical faith. So I want to just explain a little bit the root word of evangelical for us this morning. And I think it helps us to bring together this passion for peace and social justice and some of the stereotypes of evangelical that have not become helpful for us, as if they're somehow two different things. It's interesting, and maybe you know this if you're a scholar of the Greek language, but the word evangelicalism actually means good news. In a world where the politics of the world have tried to polarize that word into meaning something different, I think it's important this morning that we come back to the root word of what evangelicalism even means. It's good news, friends. It's gospel. That's the root of this word. The message that we were bringing in Seeds of the Kingdom that summer, and it's the same message that I still feel very passionate about almost 10 years later, is that our passion for peace in our lives and in the world, our passion for looking out for the refugee, is rooted in the biblical narrative, the gospel. The story of salvation history shows us a God who loved us while we were still enemies, yet came to earth and died for us and made reconciliation with all people. It was Jesus himself who came and evangelized peace. That's Acts 10:36. Jesus evangelized peace. This is good news. Evangelion. Jesus Christ has made peace through the cross and conquered the power of death through the resurrection. Because of this, Christians, we are called people of peace. Somehow we've separated these two things, and I want to bring them back together. Christians are to testify to the same love that was shown to us by also showing it to other people, even our enemies. There is no question that our early Anabaptist forebears were deeply evangelical. And they had a message to spread, and they didn't want to keep it in. They held a deep commitment to a relationship with God and to the power of the Holy Spirit in their own lives. But it didn't stop there. And this is where we sometimes want to put things in different camps and polarize. They held a deeply evangelical faith, but it didn't become privatized. But it only motivated them to look outward to discipleship, following the teachings of Jesus. This is how they witnessed to God at work in their lives. And so, I think for us, just as we were saying for five months in a van driving around Iowa and Montana and South Dakota, that the same message today, that we can't polarize and separate these words, but that we need to embrace an evangelical faith in realization that it cannot lie dormant. One of the things that I find interesting is if you ever have looked into that very popular phrase that Meta Simons gave, I actually have one hanging at home. It just talks about all the things that Meta Simons sees as true evangelical faith, but it's the shortened version has often only talked about the things that are more service oriented, like seeking to serve the hungry, feed the hungry, and shelter the destitute, and console the sad. But what the danger is in only talking about those more service-oriented things is that actually Meta Simons has a list of almost 17 things of what true evangelical faith is. And I think when you hold all of those together, it brings us more of a balanced gospel of what evangelical faith is. So some of the other things that often don't get named on that true evangelical faith is that true evangelical faith dies to flesh and blood. True evangelical faith destroys all lusts and forbidden desires. True evangelical faith also does good to those who do it harm. It prays for those who persecute it. It teaches, admonishes, and judges us with the word of the Lord. It seeks those who are lost. It binds up that which is wounded. It heals the sick. It saves what is strong. It becomes all things to all people. I just think it's amazing that Meta Simons, in the context that he was living in of such reformation and reforming from the Catholic body of which he had previously been a part of, is that he holds such a balanced gospel and understanding of what evangelical faith is all about. This balance between being deeply rooted and wanting to be transformed by the power of the resurrection, and allowing that to only go outward into service and love and caring for those who are hurting. May we follow in those words of embracing an evangelical faith. In the psalm this morning in 146, I also see this very balanced evangelical faith. A psalm that begins with praising the Lord, O my soul. I will praise the Lord as long as I live. And then it says, do not put your trust in princes, in mortals, in whom there is no help. When their breath departs, they return to the earth. On that very day, their plans perish. We're invited here to have a faith that is so deeply rooted in God's story of salvation history that we do not need to fear. And in this world that I began with talking about how even a word of refugees has become so politicized, I think on both sides there's so much fear of what drives this polarization and division. And what we're invited here to in Psalm 146 is to be guided by a different kind of story that says, do not put your trust in princes, in mortals. Do not fear, but to be guided by this kind of a story and narrative. And what kind of a God is this that we read about? It says, it's a God who made heaven and earth, the sea and all that is in them. It's a God who executes justice for the oppressed, a God who gives food to the hungry, a God who sets the prisoners free, who opens the eyes of the blind. The Lord lifts up those who are bowed down. The Lord loves the righteous. The Lord will reign forever. It's very clear here when I read a psalm like this that we cannot talk about our passion for peace and social justice without it being rooted in acknowledging a God who first loved us and is transforming us. We can't talk about these things that often are considered more progressive, liberal theology without first saying, God's first. And I've shared this in the past, but the danger with the very strongly held stream of peace and social justice, which is one of the ones that is my strongest, personally, is that God gets tiny. It becomes good people doing good things, and then we're really no different than anybody else that wants to do good things in our world. And I'm so grateful for the nonprofits doing good things in our world. But we cannot lose our particularity as the church. And that's why the peace and social justice stream needs to be balanced with these other streams that remember God's transforming work in our lives through the cross and the resurrection. We cannot be fooled into this polarization that somehow these things exist separately. But this song tells us to bring it together. And so, and this morning as we are thinking about a true evangelical faith that looks out for the refugee, I suggest a couple things that we can do together. And it's things that you're already doing, Whitmer Heights. But let's relearn our mother tongue. Let's go back to the history books. Let's go back to the early church and the early Anabaptist language of faithful resistance to empire, of caring for the poor, but doing it in a posture of knowing that this is part of our evangelical faith that first and foremost is grounded in what God has done for us. And joining God in that work. The early Anabaptists were deeply evangelical people. Deeply evangelical. How do we join with that in a world where we've become somewhat quiet in the land, Anabaptists? As Sarah Wenger Shank wisely states, she's the at Anabaptist Mennonite Biblical Seminary, the president there. She says, we easily speak the language of politics, which only polarizes, but we stutter with our native language of faith. To speak with true authority, we must immerse ourselves in scripture, prayer, confession, spirited worship, and story. Let's go back to the early Anabaptists. Spirit of evangelical faith. What's another thing that we can do? We can look for Jesus primarily showing up among those who suffer and those on the margins. I think about the text where it says, Jesus, we never saw you in prison. We never saw you hungry. When did we do these things for you? And Jesus says, whatever you do for the least of these, you do for me. That's in Matthew. And so that is very clear to me that we need to look for Jesus showing up among those who suffer and those on the margins. And as we do that, we re-embrace holistic evangelism that flows from the love of God in Christ Jesus. Where do I see this happening in our world today? Where there's this holistic evangelical faith. I see it in Easter Mennonite missions, which, if you've been following them, they're really focusing a lot of attention on refugees right now. And they're doing it with a very balanced gospel. I see it in Church World Service. who holds some deep theological commitments and a deep passion for the refugee population. I see it in this church who has reached out in the past in welcoming refugee families to this congregation. You have spent many, many hours taking people to appointments, working on green cards, whatever it may be. But here I want to make an important emphasis is that as the church is reaching out and following Jesus in our call to help the refugee, this is so much more than just us helping. But I truly believe that this is where we're finding Jesus. And so we need to almost turn it around and not so much I am going to help and bless someone else, but actually I'm going there to find Jesus. Because I'm going to be transformed in my relationship with that person who is fleeing violence. I need to hear their story. Because when I hear their story, I encounter a Jesus that also was a refugee and that experienced even death on a cross. And so the church can easily fall into this trap of thinking that we're going to save. But when actually I think that the more clearer story is that we're actually going to be transformed ourselves. One place where we have been blessed in this congregation is through getting to know Ayman and Manal and their family. Now, Ayman and Manal did not come officially as refugees, but they did come in many ways like a refugee comes, in that they were coming from very difficult circumstances. They came here with very little, community support, with very little understanding of the English language. And this congregation has been blessed to get to know them and hear their stories. Maybe eat their food. It is delicious if you haven't gotten a chance to eat their food yet. I have been blessed by their emphasis on prayer. And we're talking about different spiritual disciplines and spiritual growth. And I have seen a commitment to prayer like I haven't seen almost any other place in how you pray so faithfully. And so I would like to invite Ayman up and anybody else that wants to, I think a couple kids are going to maybe share as well. We just want to hear a little bit of an update on how you guys are doing. So would you come on up at this point? Because as I said, we're being transformed by your life. You're teaching us and changing who we are too. And so I just wanted to give a little bit of a space here at the end of the sermon to kind of hear a little bit of how you're doing. So I'm just going to ask a couple questions, Ayman. Okay. The first question is, what is one thing that has been really good for you? Something that's going well as you've come to America?
What, for me?
Yeah, and your family.
Yeah. Before, my life here, not easy. Because no language good. No language good for me. But I see here in the night church, family good for me. More time I call Pastor Randy. I need help. More people here help me. I know this. No family again. My family here. Now, in the night church. Before, my life not easy for my kids. Because no language. Now Marlene and Mora and Maria language. Before, Karas no talk English. Now little bit English. And child care. And everybody in child care love my son. Because different. Yeah, yes. Before no have job. Good. 7 months no have job. Rent house and food. But I know in my side, something told me, you good. You no not alone here. I help you. I thank this sure Jesus. Jesus here, every day here. Jesus help everyone every day. Sometimes you no understand what happened for your life. But Jesus understand where you go.
Thank you.
Thank you, Ayman. That's a word of encouragement there. And would you guys be willing just to share a little bit about how school is going? What's the experience like for you guys as you're getting into Brownstown School? Come on.
The school is good, and the people are nice, and the teacher helped me so much. Because, like, my language before, I'm not good. But now I'm good, and I thank all one helped me, and thank you.
What's your favorite class?
Math.
Math?
Yeah.
Nice.
It's number one.
Marlene, do you want to share a little bit, too, of how school's going for you, or anything else?
The teacher helped me last up, and now I'm talking English good, and thank God that I'm talking English good.
Another question that I wanted to know if you would share about is, I'm so impressed about how important prayer is in your family. And can you share just a little bit about how that was nurtured and the importance of prayer as a spiritual practice in your family and in your life? Why is prayer so important?
Yeah.
When you pray a lot.
Right?
Pray, yeah, yes.
Yeah. Yes. You remember, everybody remember here in my dad problem in Egypt, and green car for my daughter, big problem. Okay. I come here and ask everybody here, pray for Marlene, Mora, because fix it, green car. And pray last for my dad. My dad, no stomach now. Okay. Cut stomach, no stomach. I come here, maybe not talk English here every time, no understand, but I said back, I pray. Please, my Jesus, help me. I need help for my dad. I need help for my green car, Mora. Oh, good news for me. My dad now, very good. Okay. And green car, Mora, the last 2 days, Jim come with me and immigration office. Ask immigration office, I need help this man because he dad stomach, cancer in stomach. After 5 minutes, give me 1 year when you go to Egypt, any time go to Egypt, 1 year. This is good news for me.
Amen.
Yes. Jesus here.
Amen.
Jesus here.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, I would just like to have a prayer for you. And I'm wondering, Ayman, would you also be willing to say a little prayer for us? Because you are blessing us too. So would you pray? I will begin the prayer. But then I was wondering if you would end the prayer by praying for us. And you can pray in your own language.
Yes.
For us, okay? So I will pray first and you can pray.
Okay.
God, we're so grateful for Ayman and Manal and their whole family. I'm so grateful for the way that their needs are being provided for, that they have housing, Lord, that they have a job, that they have a school where the children can go and they're learning. God, I'm giving you thanks that they are blessing us. We're able to hear their stories. We're being transformed by their presence at Whitmer Heights. I just continue to pray for them that you would be strengthening them. We continue to pray for Ayman's father with the cancer. Continue to bring healing there. And for the green cards and all those details that need to be worked out as well.
Okay. I need pray for my Arabic language. Okay, excuse me. Ya Aban al-Lazi fi al-Samawat, yataqaddas ismak, liyati malakutak, لتكن مشيئتك كما في السماء كذلك على الأرض خبزنا الذي للغد أعطنا يا رب اليوم واغفر لنا ذنوبنا كما نغفر نحن أيضا للمذنبين إلينا ولا تدخلنا في تجربة لكن نجينا من الشرير بالمسيح يسوع ربنا لأن لك الملك والقوة والمجد إلى الأبد يا رب أشكرك يا رب أنك وقفت جنبينا في رحلتنا الطويلة الصعبة دي يا رب، ويا رب اديتني الفرصة أني أتكلم لغة مش بتاعتي يا رب وعلمتهاني يا رب أنا وأولادي. أشكر يا رب كل من ساهم في حياتي يا رب بالمساعدة أو بالصلاة يا رب، وأسأل يا رب منك ومن فضلك أن تعطي السلام لكل العالم يا رب، تعطي السلام يا رب، انقذ الجياع يا رب يا سيد يسوع المسيح، ليس لنا سواك يا رب. أتضرع إليك يا رب أنا وأولاد الواقفين في بيتك المقدس الطاهر أمام هذا الجمع المبارك يا رب، أن تقف جنب كل واحد يا رب، كل مريض يشفيه، كل مريض يا رب أنت القادر أن تشفيه يا رب، لك كل قوة لك كل مجد من الآن والأبد. آمين.
Amen. Thank you.
Yeah, thank you. Thank you.
So may that be our prayer. Lord, bind us together and change us as we become unified in your kingdom. And I just want to go back to Psalm 146 as I close with these words. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord, O my soul. I will praise the Lord as long as I live. I will sing praises to my God all my life long.